Morning, church. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. Really glad to have everybody here. Hope that everybody has had a great holiday week this week and had some downtime for you to spend time with family and, of course, reflect on just the freedom that we have and how wonderful it is, even as we look around us and we see so much that we would like to change, so much we would change if it were up to us, yet we still have the ability, the opportunity to come and to meet like this. And so freedom of religion, it's one of the freedoms that we have, and so we should all be thankful for that. Today is the first lesson in a series that is all about God speaking, how God speaks in our world today. Before we begin that in earnest, this first lesson this morning, I want to bring something to your attention, and I think it is something that's worth celebrating. Antoine, if you would stand up, man, you should see his eyes right now. He has no idea. Antoine was baptized at camp this year, and so we all want to welcome Antoine. And if you get lucky enough to where you rate a hug from Antoine, you are somebody who is very special. And in fact, all you got to do to get one of those hugs is just be sweet to him, and he'll give you one of those hugs. So Lisa and I have gotten many of those hugs over the last couple of years. So this morning, as we kind of get started with this first lesson in this series of God speaking and God communicating, I want to just make this statement, and then I want to ask a question for you to be thinking about as we go through this lesson this morning. And but the statement is that one of the most asked questions to ministers. In fact, I read a book one time, and the author of this book said that in 30 years of ministry, he was asked this question more than any other question that he had ever been asked. And that question was, how do I know if God really hears me? How do I know when God is speaking to me? How do I know that God is really interested in my life? Those kinds of questions, but all sort of culminating in, how do I know that God is communicating with me? And raise your hand if you've ever had a time in life when you wished you had an answer from God. And for most of us, it is not just one time or two times or three times. It's a lot of times in life we find ourselves having to make a decision. We find ourselves at a crossroads. We find ourselves looking at door one or door two, and we're just confused about the direction. You know, when we look at Scripture, there's a whole lot in Scripture that is cut and dried. I've heard it put this way before. You know, in Scripture, there's a whole lot of exclamation points. There are things that we can know. We can know a right or wrong, and we can often look at our own lives. It's really easy to look at somebody else's life and go, hey, dude, the direction you're going, here it is right here. This is where you're headed, and it's not a good direction. But often in life, we find ourselves with a decision to make, and we wish that we could just hear, yes, son, that's a good thing to do, or no, daughter, that's not a good thing to do, and know that it was, in fact, the will of God. And so maybe the question we really need to be asking, or that we are asking this morning, is, does God even speak today? Does God even speak today? Is he still communicating with us today? And I have to confess to you this morning that I have never heard the audible voice of God. I have never heard a voice that I was absolutely 100% convinced was the audible voice of God. I'll tell you a really funny story that happened to me. This is true life. Back in the days when I used to love to deer hunt. And I haven't done near as much hunting in the last couple of years as I used to do. Too busy, you name it, whatever the reason. I used to love to just go out and sit on a deer stand. And one time I went, and it was in a place that I'd never been before, a town that I'd never been before. And I'm sitting on that deer stand, and it is cold. It's about 20 degrees, and it's 2 days after Christmas. And I promise y'all, the sound was so loud, and it was church music with harps and bells and trumpets. And you know what I thought, right? I thought, man, this is it. This is it. And you know what? You want to know what happened then? I realized I wasn't ready. And I got down off that deer stand and got on my hands and knees in the woods and began to ask God to forgive me for stuff that I'd never even remembered that I had done wrong. And the music kept going, and it kept going, and kept going. And I didn't see any angels, and I didn't see anything else that, you know, that either brought me either joy or fear. And finally got back on my deer stand, and the music ended, and I found out there was a little church just right around the corner from where I was hunting, and they were trying out a new sound system. And so even though I thought God was communicating, there was some communication coming from heaven then, there wasn't. But the question is does God still communicate today? And if you, I think really to answer that question, I think we have to look at history. After all, we do have Scripture, right? But we all wonder, is that part of history done with? Is God done? And it's just sort of, it's up to us. He's done talking, and he's not communicating anymore. To answer this, we have to take a quick jaunt through history. History really tells a tale. If we go all the way back to the beginning, we have this picture of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? And God is coming down, and he is walking and talking with them. And it's a picture of God reacting and interacting with them as if he was a friend, as if he was a confidant. And not long after that, we see God speaking through, you know, a man like Abraham. And then God speaking through Moses and Aaron. And then we see God speaking through a whole bunch of prophets as he's trying to get messages and communication through to his people. One of those that I remembered and I thought about was Elijah. And God spoke to Elijah. But if you remember that story when Elijah ran away from that mean woman Jezebel, and he wound up in a cave, and it said that, you know, there was an earthquake and there was a fire and there was a mighty wind, but God was not in any of those. What did God come to Elijah in? A whisper. God communicated with Elijah in a whisper. And then we have Jacob. And God came to Jacob in the form of a wrestling match, right? God spoke through to some folks through a donkey. God spoke through, you get over into the pages of the New Testament, we see God coming and speaking through the person of Jesus. And they called him, his name was, well, he was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so for 33 years, plus or minus, we have God speaking through Jesus. And then we have the Bibles that you have. And I hope that you have access to a Bible this morning. Maybe it's on your phone. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians. All right, we're going to take a trip through Ephesians in just a minute. We're going to read a few verses from Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And it'll be really helpful if you have that, because we're not going to have those the actual text on the screen. But we have all of that Scripture, right? And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is what? It's God-breathed, all right? All Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so at least up through 100 years after Jesus walked the earth, when we believe the last book of the New Testament was written, the Revelation, we see that at least up until that point, God is communicating with his people at least through Scripture, right? But the question that always comes to my mind is after that, has God stopped communicating with us, or is He still communicating with us today? There's a passage in Job, and I want to say to you this morning, before we read this passage, I want to say to you, in answer to that question, is God still speaking? Yes, yes, yes. He is still speaking, though at times we have a hard time recognizing what He's saying. And we have a hard time recognizing where and how the method that He speaks through. For those of you who are in the library class on Sunday mornings and you're studying Job, sorry to steal your thunder on this, guys. I know y'all probably hadn't gotten to this point yet, but listen to this from Elihu. Y'all, if y'all remember the story of Job, Job had some worthless friends who were not very compassionate to him, and finally Elihu, he waited, he held his peace, and then this is what he said, and it's really this whole chapter and even on into chapter 34, but he said, "Why do you complain to Him that He responds to no one's words?" All right? That's the same thing we do, right? It's been, I don't know, 5,000 years, 4,000 years since Job walked the earth and since this actual discourse took place, if we believe that it did, and we do. So it's been this long, and people were still asking at that time, why is God not answering me? Why is He not listening? And listen to what he says. He says, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it." If you read another version, I think the NLT says no one recognizes it. And so, if God is still speaking today, maybe the problem is not God. Maybe the problem is that we're not perceiving it. We're not recognizing it. And so this morning, it'll be my goal, it'll be Paul's goal next week to help you recognize, help you see some ways that God is speaking. And hopefully it can be life-changing for you. I want to ask Connor. Connor, come on up. I know y'all saw these two chairs up here, and you knew somebody was coming up, right? So this is Connor. Y'all say hey to Connor. Most of y'all know Connor. Do y'all remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? Y'all do, don't you, right? The Holy Spirit came. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after Peter preached that sermon and convicted them that they had been part and parcel of killing the Son of God, of crucifying Him. And they asked that question. They were pricked in their heart. They repented. They asked, "What do we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And they said, "And this promise is for you and your children and to all who are afar off." So I want you to see Connor as, just pretend for a minute that Connor was at that great day, the day of Pentecost. And Connor is one of those guys, one of those people to whom God gave His Spirit. So I guess the bad part is you're over 2,000 years old.
I've got some really good products.
Yeah, you do. You do. You're if you're 2,000 years old, that would possibly make you a vampire.
Yeah, maybe.
But I've never seen a vampire with such a great beard, so... But Connor is a young man who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to read some scripture, all right? And I would like for you to follow along with me, okay? The first passage, and I'm going to throw the verses up there so you can follow along. If you want to write them down, you can. The first one is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and y'all, Ephesians was written sometime after the day of Pentecost, obviously, okay? It was written sometime after that, maybe 15, 20, 30 years after the day of Pentecost. And I want you to hear what Paul is saying about the Spirit, okay, in the life of Connor. And I'm going to read this as if Paul were writing this to Connor, all right? So the first couple of verses is chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And Paul said, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. If you go to flip over to the last part of chapter 1, he talks about how he prays that Connor would have the ability to see. In verse 19, he says, His incomparably great power for us who believe. And he can only see that through the power of the Spirit. And so clearly God is doing something with the power of the Spirit in Connor. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Go to chapter 2, verse 10. He says to Connor, "For you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do." Verse 22, he tells Connor, he says, "And in Him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." In chapter 3, he prays in verse 16, he says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And so, if you think about all of those passages, and this is just one letter, Ephesians, in just three chapters, where God, through His Spirit, is communicating through Paul to Connor, all right, who has been given His Spirit. I hope you still have your Bibles open, because Connor is going to read. He's going to read from chapter 4, beginning in verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 2. Okay, so that's Ephesians 4, 17 through 5, 2. But before he does that, I want to ask you to think about this question, okay? Why is God doing this for Connor? Why would God give Connor His Spirit? You know, if you go to Beans and Cream, they have this special deal where if as long as you're part of their rewards program, you can, anybody know how many coffees you got to buy before you get a free one? 10, right? You buy 10 coffees and you get a free one. That would mean I get free ones like every 2 days. Because about the only thing I like more than pecan pie is coffee. And coffee doesn't make you fat, but pecan pie does. And so I can't eat near as much of that as I want to. But that's a rewards program, right? Some of y'all have credit cards, and you got, how many of y'all chose your credit card because of the points program? Come on, be honest. Raise your hand. All right, a few, right? You looked into it. All right, why is God willing to give Connor something so great? Something so magnificent. Why is God willing to give Connor His Spirit? You know, when you ask kids something, how many of y'all have asked your kids something and you got an "I don't know"? And you literally pounded them. You just kept asking them, "Look, there's got to be a reason you did that." And honestly, y'all, for our kids' sake, sometimes they do stupid stuff and they have no idea why they did it, right? There is no answer. Well, I can promise you that God doesn't do anything by accident, right? God doesn't do anything by accident, especially something really, really important, like giving someone His Spirit. So, Connor, if you would, read what Paul wrote to you from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17.
"I must no longer live as the world does, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to the sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life I learned when I heard about Christ and was taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. I was taught, with regard to my former way of life, to put off my old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of my mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, I must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to my neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In my anger, I shall not sin. I must not let the sun go down while I am still angry, lest I give the devil a foothold. If I once was a thief, I shall steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with my own hands, that I may have something to share with those in need. I must not let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I must not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom I was sealed for the day of redemption. I shall get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. I will be kind and compassionate to my brothers and sisters, forgiving them, just as in Christ God forgave me. I must follow God's example, therefore, as a dearly loved child, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved me and gave himself up for me as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
All right. Thank you, Connor. God has clearly planned something special for his spirit in Connor. Would you agree with that? Come on, shake your head like this, right? God clearly planned something great. And what God planned for Connor, I'm not going to say this is the exhaustive list or this is the sum totality of all that God wanted to do in Connor with his spirit, through his spirit, but without a shadow of a doubt, God intends to transform Connor to the point to where in Connor's speech, in his actions, in the way that he lives his life, in the way that he deals with people, that God is able to speak through Connor. Now, I want you to think about that for just a second. How God speaks through Connor, okay, how God communicates through with his actions and with his speech, and the way he deals with people is in large measure due to how much he allows the Spirit to take over his life and to influence him. Many of you, as you were reading through that passage, I know this is a passage you've probably read a lot of times, and down in verse 30, did you notice that phrase where he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God"? How many of you have read that and wondered, what does that even mean? How do I grieve the Holy Spirit of God? I've wondered that many times. And in the context of God doing everything that he has said he's going to do, okay, all of those passages that we read that are on the screen, and all of this instruction to Connor about how he's supposed to live his life, I think it is probably clear that when Connor doesn't give in to the influence of the Spirit in his life, in any way, he's grieving the Holy Spirit. Let me give you just some examples. When Connor chooses to thwart the work of God in his life, the Spirit is grieved. When Connor has the opportunity to forgive someone, and he chooses to hold on to bitterness and anger and resentment, the Holy Spirit is grieved. When Connor is untruthful, the Holy Spirit is grieved. When Connor speaks worldly, unkind words, the Holy Spirit is grieved. When Connor is negative and he doesn't try to see the good in people, when he chooses his own way, when he chooses sin over God's right and perfect way, the Holy Spirit is grieved. So, why did God give Connor that spirit? Even though Connor has the choice, he has the right to choose whether or not to grieve the Spirit or not. Why did God give the Spirit to Connor? And I believe that at least one way we can answer this question this morning is he gave Connor the Holy Spirit so that Connor would communicate his thoughts, his words, his attitudes, his way of treating people, his way of seeing people. He gave Connor his spirit not as some heavenly divine rewards program. He gave Connor his spirit so that he would communicate with others the thoughts and the will and the desires of God. Now, isn't it a shame that God only gave his spirit to Connor. Isn't that, I mean, raise your hand if you believe that all of us were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. All right, when we came to know Christ, do you believe that God indwelled us with the Holy Spirit? At least that's what Scripture says, right? So if you believe that, everything we've said about Connor is true for us. Everything that we said about Connor is true for me and for Matt and for Amy, for Kenny, for Mike, for Cameron, for Adam, for Roy, even all y'all back there on the back. Come on, y'all wave at me just to make me know y'all are awake. All right, y'all are awake. That's good. I couldn't see any movement back there. God gave His Spirit for a reason, for a purpose. And it is so as we are transformed into people who are more and more like God in our thoughts and our actions and our speech, that we would be able to communicate. You know, we live in a world where, what does the word viral mean to you now? Especially those of us who are younger. When something goes viral, it goes what? It goes big time, doesn't it? Y'all, this is God going viral here. All right, God gave all of us His Spirit so that, and to a large measure, the world could be changed for the better. So the answer, I believe, to the question, does God even speak today, is that He is speaking, and He fully intends to speak through you and to you by the power of His Spirit. He intends to speak to you through the power of His Spirit in the people in your life. And He intends to speak through you to the people in your life. Connor, thank you for helping us out and for helping make a point this morning. Y'all, thank Connor. I asked Connor yesterday for a selfie. And it took him like an hour to find one that he liked. Oh, you took a new one. Okay. So God is, I mean, He is speaking. His intent, His plan is to speak through us to the world that we live in. I want to end with this passage. It's one of my favorites. And it's a beautiful thought. We'll read it together. You yourselves, these are the words of Paul. Paul says, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And y'all, this has happened to me more times than I can even tell you. How often, if I really think back about my life, I think about especially the bad times, the tough times in my life, how often God has used some of you to speak into my life. Let me just tell you about the last time that happened that really made an impact on me. He may have used some of y'all this morning to speak into me as you've encouraged me this morning, even before church began. But this particular occasion was not very long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, when I was having a conversation with a sister in Christ. And, you know, I wasn't complaining, I wasn't saying a whole lot, but she could see the stress in my face. And, you know, she didn't go all clinical on me and tell me what I needed to do. She just asked some questions. And the questions that she asked me made me realize that the light that she was shining into my life was the message was, hey, Billy, you gotta reconnect with God. You gotta remember what is really important, what is really most important. And you gotta be reminded of some of those things that you act like are important and are not so important. And once I began to think about the questions she asked me, I realized that she was right. And I actually thanked God for the words that she spoke to me. And without a shadow of a doubt, I'm pretty sure that she was She's indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and I'm pretty sure that God didn't sit that conversation out. He was speaking through her. And there was nothing even remotely heavenly about the incident. I didn't hear any angels or no smoke, no thunder or anything like that. It was just God doing what God does, speaking through the people that he's given his spirit to. He was speaking to me through her. And I wonder, y'all, I want you to really think about this, okay? Why would this be surprising to us? Why would it be surprising? He has spoken through normal people for thousands of years. Why would he stop now? Church, you don't have to be a full-time minister. Some are, and God speaks through them. You don't have to be someone who is able to go to a foreign mission field. Some are able, and God speaks through them. But every single person in this room this morning has family. We have coworkers. We have employers, employees. We have neighbors. We have friends. We have family. And so I ask you this morning, to whom has God given you the opportunity to be his voice to? And to whom has God given the opportunity to be a voice in your life? Will you listen? Will you be that one who is willing to speak the words of God? Maybe a good challenge for us this morning. I wonder, when you leave here today and you have that opportunity to speak, to act, to behave in a way, and if you could remember that God's Spirit is in you today for a reason, maybe the best question we can ask is, before every interaction, God, what would you have me say here? How would you have me act in this situation? Man, what a simple thing to do, but what a life-changing thing that would be, not only for us, but for the people that we come in contact with. Because God's Spirit, folks, is in us for a reason. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the great freedom that you've given us. Father, the freedom to be able to be here. And as Cameron mentioned this morning, the incredible freedom, Father, to be free from the fear of death, the fear of whatever this world would throw at us. Father, because of the gift that your Son has given us. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for closing up our ears and not considering the fact that you still are speaking to us, as Elihu said in Job, in the book of Job, first one way and then another. Father, give us the wisdom, the perception, Father, to be able to recognize when you're speaking to us, whether it be through another person, through your word, situations, however you may speak to us. But Father, as we reflect on the great, great gift of your Spirit living in us, Father, let us never take that for granted. Father, help us when we deal with one another not to speak our own words, but to speak your words. And help us to be in tune with you so that we may ask the question, Father, what would you have me say in this situation, or what would you have me do? We thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you have a need that we can help you with, whether it is to be buried with Christ in baptism like young Antoine did at camp, or whether it is to maybe come back to Jesus if you've left his side, please come if we can help you as we sing.